We appreciate everybody's presence this morning. We encourage you to take your Bible and follow along. Because this morning we're going to talk about the lesson they had been with Jesus. Tonight we'll talk about nothing. So tonight, be present because you'll have something to say about nothing. So be present tonight. But over in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, you see where the text is there. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So my question throughout this lesson today, well, and something for us to think about, is that will we be like those that are described here, Peter and John, who were with Jesus? Do people take knowledge that we've been with Jesus? You ever thought about that? So as we think about the events of Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John went to the temple to pray. Beginning at verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And then they encountered a lame man from birth. Beginning at verse 2, it says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask the alms of them that entered into the temple. He was so lame he had to be carried there every day. We've seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, but John said, look on us, and he gave heed unto them, expected to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in to them, or with them, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. So you see where this man that was lame from birth, that had to be carried there, Peter and John healed him. All the people there that knew this man, they wondered. Notice verse 10 and 11. And they knew that it was he which set for the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. They wondered, they were filled with amazement. And we would be too, wouldn't we, if we saw something like that happen? How did they do that? You know, we'd be asking ourselves. Well, Peter addresses the men of Israel and proclaimed that it was not their own power, but the power that was given to them to heal this man was from God. Notice beginning at verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. He said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? So he said, it wasn't us. It wasn't by our own power. It was another power. And he accuses the Jews of denying and crucifying Jesus. Notice verse 13, beginning of there. Verse 14, or 13. He says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, who God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are his witnesses. And in his name, through faith, and in his name hath made this man strong. So through the faith of God, by Christ, he said, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance he did it, as did also your fathers. But those things which God before us showed by the mouth of all of his prophets did Christ, that he should suffer, has so fulfilled. So he urges them, then beginning in verse 19, to repent, to hear Jesus, whom Moses and the prophets proclaimed. And he said in verse 19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, ye shall send Jesus, Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, who before was a priest unto you, whom the heavens must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear all things, whatsoever he saith unto you. It shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Ye all the prophets, from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold you these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kings of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every man from his iniquities. We see where he urges them to repent, to hear Jesus and Moses proclaimed, and the prophets. So as we think about that, as we go to chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested, weren't they? They were brought before the council. Notice verse 1. It says, and as they spake to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in whole until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass in the morning that their rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So they were set, they were upset. The chief priests and all those religious people of that day, they were upset because they proclaimed Jesus and the resurrection. Remember, the Sadducees denied the resurrection. Acts chapter 23, verse 8. See, they drew the attention of the high priests, rulers, elders, and scribes. And Peter and John, there were, as we read, were challenged to explain by what power or what name, by what name they had acted. How'd you do this? Who gave you this power, this authority? So their preaching had a great impact. 5,000 were mentioned there. See, Peter responds by the... he responds by the Spirit. Yes, notice, beginning at verse 8 of the same chapter, verse chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among you, whereby we must be saved. So Peter, he responds by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they were being judged for doing a good deed. This helpless man had to be carried to the beautiful gate. So they had made this man whole by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter pointed out and emphasized that they had crucified and slain him. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 23. He had preached this on the day of Pentecost. He said, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And in verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Savior. So he lays the blame on the Jews, doesn't he, squarely on them? In Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, he said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired that murder be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are his witnesses." Jesus is the one that God raised. He declared that, didn't he? Again, Peter said that in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, when he said, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be holding of it, for David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said, my Lord, set thou on my right hand." A reference to David, what David prophesied of Christ coming. And then in Acts 3, verse 15, he accused them of killing the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead. He says, we are witnesses. So we see that they rejected the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. The stone rejected was the very stone they needed. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we see where there was proclaimed that there was no salvation. Beginning at verse 11 of that chapter, he says, "And this is the stone which was set up not of you builders, which will become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. And he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the council made some observations, didn't they? And people make observations about us. But notice that they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. That is, that they were uneducated and untrained. See, the leaders have no knowledge of Peter and John. The chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were educated by scholars of their day. They don't remember Peter and John being there, being educated with them. And then they marveled. They marveled at the bold and confident statements made by Peter and John. They're asking themselves, how could these men speak in this manner? Well, the answer is clear. They had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. Just we think about some of the cases of them being with Jesus. We see that they were with Jesus, and Jesus sent them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel over in Matthew chapter 10, didn't he? Turn with me to that. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples and warns them of the plight that they would be facing. And in Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, it says, "When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against holy unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother; James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the publican; James, the son of Alphaeus; Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite; Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather ye to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So Jesus sent them there, didn't he? Personally sent them there. And he warned them. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be careful, wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what shall speak, for it's not ye that speak, but the Father, or the Spirit of your Father that speaketh in you." See, they were with Jesus when the storm arose, when they were on the sea. Over in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. The text says there, beginning at verse 22, it says, "Now, and it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and said to them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with the water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And they said unto him, Where is your faith? Or he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they said, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. They were amazed by that, weren't they? See, they were with him when he promised to build his church, weren't they? Over in Matthew chapter 16, we see in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus questions his disciples and asks them a question, beginning at verse 13. He asked them, saying, Whom do men say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he was with them there. He proclaimed that he would give them the keys of the kingdom, that he would build this church. See, they were with him when he was transfigured on the mount, weren't they? Over in Matthew chapter 17, we see beginning at verse 1, the text says there, And after 6 days, Jesus said, or taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. They witnessed Jesus being transfigured, his image changed, and out of the heavens, God the Father proclaimed his Messiahship and told them to hear him. See, they were with him when they were promised the Holy Spirit over in John chapter 14, verse 1. Now, Jesus told them not to be troubled in heart. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, were not so I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, now can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But later on in that chapter, he promised that he would give them the Holy Spirit when he departed from them. In verse 26, he said, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. Over in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 26, he said, But the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. He shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. They were with him, weren't they? So he told them not to be troubled in heart, because he would prepare a place for them, and he would send the Comforter. They had been with him, hadn't they? Well, he was with them on the Passover supper, as Bob referred to just a few minutes ago in Matthew chapter 26. You see, where Jesus and his disciples were together. And as we think about this, read with me beginning at verse 17. And this is now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread. The disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare thee for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say to him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. When the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto them, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou said." As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it. He gave it to the disciples and said, "Eat," or "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave it thanks, or gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Well, Jesus was with them in Gethsemane when he was betrayed. Kind of a lengthy reading. We won't take the time to read all that, but over in Mark chapter 14, we see where Jesus was with his disciples, and they were with him as he was praying in the garden, beginning at verse 32. Beginning at verse 32. Of Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 32 of Mark chapter 14. The text says there, in verse 32, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, to be very heavy, and saith unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch.' And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt.' And he came and found them asleep and said unto Peter, 'Simon, sleepest thou? Because not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" We see where Jesus was betrayed. Later on in that chapter, Peter denied him. Peter denied him when he was betrayed. Then he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. We're going to get to John chapter 20. Over in John chapter 20, we see where Jesus appears, and the disciples observe him and see him. They see the print of the nails in his hands, and they see the scars that he endured as he was crucified on the cross. Beginning at verse 19 now. This is in the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And they said, Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when they had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he saith unto them, "Except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it to my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life, you think, they're with him, they saw him. John refers to this over in 1 John chapter 1, where he talked about how they were witnesses of Jesus. And John said, over in 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which was the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. See, they saw him, didn't they? They were with him. See, they were with Jesus when he ascended into heaven, weren't they? They saw him ascend. And so, in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the text says, there are the former treaties I've made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up after that through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, all two men stood by him in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner ye have seen him go into heaven. So these are just a few of the many instances where they were with Jesus. And my question is, have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? See, to be with Jesus, you have to go to Jesus. He didn't just come to you. He came to this earth. But we have the obligation to go to him. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In John chapter 6, beginning at verse 44, John said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. So Jesus explains here that one comes to receive this bread of life that he talked about in verses 31-35 and 46-51, that God gives men to Jesus by drawing them. He has eternally taken an initiative to save those that desire eternal life. So men that see something that they desire, they're drawn to it, aren't they? So it is with the desire for eternal life. Because only God, through Christ, can offer man eternal life. So men learn of this desire of eternal life through being taught, by hearing, by learning. Now Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, he says, all thy children shall be taught of Jehovah, and great shall be the peace of their children. So we may have different hobbies. We may learn about those hobbies and the benefits of having those hobbies through literature that we may read. Likewise, we're drawn of God by the promise of eternal life. The instructions are the gospel message. Well, somebody said that men are like, or God's word is like a magnet. See, a magnet draws iron, doesn't it? See, some are not iron. A magnet doesn't draw everything, does it? It only draws iron. In a similar manner, one must be right in disposition, have the proper response to the drawing power of the Father. Because as a magnet draws iron, all are not iron. So are we iron or are we clay? What are we? Iron or clay? So have you been with Jesus? That's what the question. So have you been with Jesus, and are you with Jesus in fidelity? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, when he was refuting the idea that the Pharisees had of him, that he was of Satan. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scattereth abroad." So he places the Pharisees in a predicament. They had to choose a side. Are you going to be with Christ or Satan? Now, when Aaron created the golden calf, when Moses on the mount, over in Exodus chapter 21, verse 26 rather, he said, he asked the question, who's on the Lord's side? So are we on the Lord's side? What side are we on? So we can't hold God's hand in one hand and the devil's hand in the other. We're on one side or the other. Are we with Jesus in watchfulness? In Matthew chapter 6, 26, beginning at verse 40, he came to his disciples and found them asleep, remember. And he said unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So are we watching for our own souls and the souls of others? Watching out for the various hazards and temptations that can come our way? Are we with Jesus in daily Bible reading? Over in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 18, talks about Ezra, who day by day, from the first day to the last, he read in the book of the law of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, he said, "How that by revelation you may know unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Which in other ages is not made known to the sons of men, but is now revealed as holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I've had people say, "Well, how do you learn the Bible?" I go, "Well, you don't just put your hand on the Bible. It's not by osmosis. You've got to read and study it." A lot of work in reading and study, isn't there? What about daily Bible study? Are we with Jesus in daily Bible study? The Bereans, they were said to be more fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was praised by Paul quite well. He said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They wanted to know what was right. They wanted to know what was being, if what was being spoken was true and right. Do we want to know that? What's our attitude about that? What about daily prayer? And the psalmist said, "Mine eye mourneth for reason of affliction. Lord, I have called upon thee daily. I have stretched out my hands unto thee." In Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, the Hebrew writer said, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God." That's who he is. "Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help and find grace in time of need." Do we do that? Do we come to God daily in prayer, express to Him our needs? The Spirit can understand our needs whether we can express them or not. Let's see. God knows what we need before we ask. What about daily cross-bearing? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus, he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Do we take up the cross of Christ by bearing the various difficulties we have to bear in order to be right with him? Do we have an attitude that we're willing to suffer for his sake? Suffer criticism, ridicule, shame by others? People nowadays look upon Christians as shameful. What about daily meditation? The psalmist said this. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So is that our delight? You know, what is our delight? What do we delight in? Do we delight in criticism and things of the world? Or do we meditate and apply to ourselves the scriptures that we learn? You know, Bob asked a good question this morning. What are we getting? What does the Lord want us to get out of the study of Ezekiel? Do we think about things like that? Do we try to make an application to ourselves so that we'll not be overcome like those of Ezekiel's day? Are you with Jesus in daily exhortation? Well, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, says, but exhort one another daily. While it's called today, lest any of you to be hard through the deceitfulness of sins. That word exhort means to beseech or to call for or to be of good comfort, desire, to give exhortation, entreat, to pray for, to encourage, to give comfort. Do we try to comfort those that are weak? What about teaching? You know, the churches, the Lord's church in the first century, it grew exceedingly fast. One reason, because those that were in the temple daily in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus. Jesus Christ and Him crucified was on their mind. What about daily growth? Do we strive to grow daily? In the first century, the church grew. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 5, the text is there. And so were the churches established in the faith, increased in number daily. In chapter 2, verse 47, the text is there that they praised God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Peter exhorted us to be as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Does a baby want a bottle once a week? Once a week or daily? Several times a day, don't they? What's that bottle? He said, desire or be like that baby that desires that milk bottle. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Daily, huh? Daily. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest any of you also, being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. How do we prevent that? He tells us in the next verse. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be glory both now and forever. Amen. So he warns us and tells us how not to be led away with the error of the wicked. How not to fall from our steadfastness. They were steadfast, but he's warning them, telling them to keep it up. Keep growing. What about his doctrine? Are we with Jesus in his doctrine? 2 John chapter 9, verse 11, Jesus said, whosoever transgresses abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you're coming in, you bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him God's feet, for he that biddeth him God's feet is a partaker of his evil deeds. There are many areas of teaching that Jesus emphasized, especially on marriage and divorce. Are we with Jesus in that doctrine? You ever thought about that? In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus said unto them, he said, if a man love me, He will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we shall come in and make our abode with him. So when we love God, we'll keep his commandments. That is, we'll abide in his doctrine. So are we with Jesus? Are we making our abode in his word? What about humility? Are we with Jesus in humility? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 67, Peter said, "Humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So do we humble ourselves? James talked about that too over in James chapter 4. And finally, are we with Jesus in gospel obedience? Paul said in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, he says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death?" He said, "Therefore we buried with him in baptism, and the death that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though he should also walk in newness of life." And Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, where also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead." So, again, have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Jesus? In conclusion, the Lord's disciples had been with Jesus, hadn't they? See, the religious leaders saw the evidence of that. Notice that they had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Again, our text, he said, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." In verse 29, the text says there, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. See, they heal the lame man by the name of Jesus. They didn't take credit for him themselves. "Peace be known unto you and all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole." Over in Acts chapter 14, verse 14, the text is there, "And beholding the man," they saw the man, "and beholding the man that was healed standing with them, there stood Peter and John, and the man that was crippled standing there right beside him. And they could say nothing against, they couldn't refute it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to them all that dwell in all Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." They couldn't deny it. So they spake, and they healed the lame man by the name of Jesus. See, they were willing to suffer in his name, weren't they? Remember? Over in Acts chapter 5, they were brought again the second time before the council, and they were questioned. And the council, and the chief priests, they brought them before the council, verse 27 and verse 28. Saying, "Did we not straighten or strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And Peter and the other apostles answered, said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." He said, "The God of your fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on the tree. Him up God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." And when they He said, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and put counsel how to slay them. And Gamaliel came to their rescue. When we look down the latter part of that chapter, they were commanded not to preach. They're beaten. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ, after they were beaten and told to leave and don't preach that again. And continued to preach. So they were willing to suffer, weren't they? Think of what Paul said. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I yet live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So have you been with Jesus? Are you with Jesus? If you're not, you can come to him. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The alien sinner can be relieved from the burden of sin by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of their sins, confessing Christ before men, and being baptized for the remission of sins. Erring children of God can be restored, made again right with God by repentance and prayer, as Simon was told to do. And all children of God, in order to receive that crown of life, in order to be with Jesus for eternity, must live faithful unto death. As John said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give unto thee a crown of life. Have you been with Jesus? That's the lesson this morning. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, we urge you to come out together. We sing the song, Have You Been to Jesus? Shall we stand while we sing?